We are speaking to Mawlana Muhammad Amir from Darul Ihsan. We recently gone to Bangladesh to meet the Rohingya Muslims. What was the purpose of your trip to Bangladesh?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. First and foremost, we wish to thank you and your radio station for the opportunity. Our purpose of going over to the Bangladesh-Myanmar border was to actually, on behalf of our relief team, Al Ihsan Relief South Africa, which conducts its activities in conjunction with the Darul Ihsan Center here in Durban. One of the primary purposes was actually to go over to assess and evaluate the situation. We were getting feed from the news and from the internet, etc., that the situation is turning out to be extremely dire. The situation is desperate, and there were many, many concerns and question marks that were in our minds. And we thought that it is our Islamic duty, it is a responsibility of the Muslim community to actually go over to meet, greet, and visit our respected mothers and our brothers and sisters there, and actually to get a feel of the situation on the ground. So that was one of the main objectives. And the other objective was also to assess what the extent of the needs are, because we know they were fleeing debt in Myanmar, they were fleeing their homeland, they were leaving their homes, their villages were being burnt. We could see footage of people just walking with nothing in their hands. They did not even have shoes on their feet. So it painted a very bleak picture for us, and we could not imagine that such a catastrophe and horrific crisis would place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity, and with His grace, we were able to make this journey and go over to the troubled land.
What are some of the main needs of the Rohingya Muslim population there at the moment?
We spent 3 days complete in Bangladesh itself, and we spent 2 full days with the refugees in the main hotspot area. Our visit basically, as I said earlier, was that we wanted to meet our people and to share with them our sentiments, that their pain is our pain, their loss is our loss. And we, as far away in the world we are from them, at the tip of the southern hemisphere, South Africa, we come with the salams and the greetings and the feelings of the people of South Africa. I think that was one of the most valuable things that we had carried with us. It was a very powerful message. It was a very emotional moment when we actually met with many people, families. And when we convey these messages at the different opportunities and programs that we had, the response and the acknowledgement was phenomenal. Over and above that, we actually tried to understand now, you know, what are the most urgent requirements, what are the priorities of the people who are now, have basically lost everything and left everything. What would be the need of a human being in that situation? And it is not difficult to work out. If you think a person has fled from his home because of fear of death and persecution, that person basically leaves with nothing. Even to the extent that sometimes the clothes on the person's back also have become worn and torn. The person has lost his shoes or her shoes. Amazingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed these people with such modesty and such Islamic morality that the woman folk will see them dressed Islamically. They will be wearing their headscarves. Some of them will also be in niqab, covering their faces. Their clothes will be dirty and muddy because of the circumstances and situations that they have been faced with, coming across the dangerous waters of the Naf River, walking through the mud. But in all that, they have not lost their values. They have they are very firm on their faith. They have trust and they have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have hope in life. They meet and greet you without any major signs of trauma and the difficulty that they are undergoing, unless you speak to them and you ask them of their experiences. Then they begin relating the very horrific stories and experiences that they have had in their homeland when they were fleeing and leaving, how people were being killed and massacred and slaughtered. So all of these things were in front of us when we had engaged with these people and met them. And to answer your question, perhaps the most important need of the hour in Bangladesh for our Muslim brothers and sisters there at the moment on the border is water, food, shelter, medicine, and sanitation. These are the most important priorities. These are basic priorities of human life. That a person needs a shelter, firstly. A person needs food and water to survive. A person needs medicine and medication in a situation where a person has experienced exhaustion, a person has experienced extreme hunger, starvation, thirst, dehydration. All of these things are required, and medication, obviously, as I said. And sanitation, because of the sheer number of people that are there. They are out there in the open. The sky is their roof. The ground is their floor, is their home. And they really have no facilities and no access to any form of relief or any form of proper human facilities. And that is making things very difficult. So basically, that's our what we had observed on the ground when we had reached there.
Are there organizations or are there efforts that are coming in the near future that will be going to these people so that we can either donate or we can give things in order to assist?
Yes, indeed, indeed, most certainly. Actually, at the present moment, there are a number of international NGOs engaged in the afflicted areas. There are organizations from Turkey, there are organizations from Malaysia, Indonesia. There are certain governments that have pledged support. And of course, there are organizations like the organizations from South Africa. Our organization, Al Ihsan Relief South Africa, has been over and has assisted. All of these organizations and foundations, their assistance is direly required. In fact, one particular person was telling us that even if another 100 organizations come into that area and begin doing their NGO work, that would also not be adequate for the scale of the difficulty and the catastrophe that is facing these people. We are talking of hundreds of thousands of people. So it's not a matter of feeding people for one day and giving them water or just feeding them over a period of a month, but it is an ongoing human need where people need the very basics for survival. They need water all the time, they need sanitation, they need food, they need clothing, they need shelter, they need medicine. And that is only a phase one. That is just to bring them to a point of survival and for them to make things livable for them. We know over and above that, a human has psychological needs. They have emotional needs. A person needs to work. A person needs dignity. A person needs some form of education, some form of occupation. Otherwise, what do people do the whole day? Could they just sit around and do nothing? That would also become a challenge going forward. So I think in the immediate future, the organizations that are getting involved need to focus on the very basic needs of those people who are coming through. Some of them have basically settled in to some extent. They have built up makeshift sort of shelters, if you want to say. They've got a little plastic cover over their head with some bamboo sticks that they have created. So it is just something that can give them some form of minimal privacy and protection from the elements, the sun, the heat. And now we understand that it's also raining there. It's the monsoon season. So these things can get blown away and washed away very easily. So a more sturdy program as far as the accommodation is required. And then, of course, all the other needs will need to be seen to.
Well, certainly a massive project that needs to be undertaken, but every little, you know, it does help and it does count towards this. We know that the Prime Minister of Bangladesh, she changed her rhetoric, you know, about the Rohingya Muslim population. But what is the perception of the Bangladeshi community towards the Rohingya Muslims?
The Bangladeshi community are a very docile and humble group of people. They are easy to get along. They are not people who have any form of feeling or air about themselves. So they themselves are not really, in a way or confrontational about the whole situation, like perhaps we would have in a certain environment where xenophobia, etc., could take root. They are embracing the situation, but I think the fact of the matter is that Bangladesh is one of the poorest countries in the world. The people themselves in Bangladesh, large parts of the population, are in need themselves of assistance and of upliftment. So whilst they may not be able to offer much, they have opened their hearts and they are acknowledging the fact that these Muslim brothers and sisters, their neighbors from the other side of the border, are definitely in a situation of crisis. They have been afflicted and they basically need to be assisted and accommodated. So whatever little can be done from their side, they are doing. Their organizations and their structures are also mobilizing themselves to assist. The government also has, to an extent, you know, mobilized itself to at least allow them across the border and are meeting and having consultation and discussions to get a proper plan in place. But you've got to understand also that this conflict is an ongoing one and it has been raging over a number of years and decades. So the impact that it has had on the Bangladeshi people and the Bangladeshi government also has been quite significant. And, of course, it leads to other political type of complications. So they are trying their best. I think the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim NGOs and communities need now to actually rally collectively to try and work out a workable, practical plan for this crisis. No amount is too little, as you have mentioned rightfully. Every little bit will count. Really, as South Africans, I think we really need to reflect and look at our lives, what luxuries and what favors and what blessings Almighty Allah has given us, and where we can make compromises, where we can actually, you know, cut out certain luxuries or additional things which we could do without, and try to send that little money over, try to send that little contribution with this intention that, oh Allah, we are fulfilling our responsibility according to the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the Muslim Ummah is one body. And it is really not the amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at, but it is our feeling and our hearts and our intention that Allah will look at. If everyone takes the focused approach and puts a little together, inshallah, it will become a lot. And it will go a long way in alleviating the difficulty for some people or even for many people, depending on how much of aid we contribute. But the idea at the moment is really for everyone to rally together in whatever way possible for us to feel their pain and for us to actually support this cause.
What, you know, perhaps a story or something that had happened to one of the people that you have met really stood out for you and shook you and made you realize, you know, the extent of the crisis, against the Rohingya Muslims?
Yes, I appreciate that question, because almost every person that you meet, every family, every household that you meet there has a story to tell. Someone or the other has been lost in that family. You know, there's been a massive loss of life and loss of possessions, etc. There was one particular young boy who we had met, an 11-year-old youngster. We got talking with him through a translator, and this young boy gave us his narrative, saying that, look, I have come over here. My parents were actually slaughtered and brutally murdered in my presence. When we questioned him that what were you doing back there at home, what were you studying, were you in school, he says, I was studying the Quran Sharif. I'm a 23 sipara hafiz of the Quran, and because the madrasas and the masjids and the centers of learning were closed down in 2012 by the military government or by the military, we had no open access to our education, but we were still trying to learn at home. We were trying to, galvanize the teachers and those ustads, the ulama, the scholars. We were trying to teach the children so that there is continuity in their learning and they do not lose out. So this young boy, 11 years old, his parents were actually, their lives were taken in front of his eyes. He was a 23 sipara hafiz, 23 juz hafiz of the Quran. And we asked him to recite, and really the recitation and the rendition that he had given us was so beautiful, so melodious, that we could not hold back our tears. He recited a few verses from Surah Bani Israel, and it really left us very emotional, and we could not hold back our tears. This was just one incident, one example. There were many other people who we had spoken to who had given us the narratives of how they had lost family members in front of their own eyes, how women, the honor of our respected mothers and our sisters, the women there, was defiled, how children were snatched from the hands of their mothers and thrown into the fire, how people were being buried alive in mass graves, and a whole lot of other very horrific and, hair-raising type of incidents, very, very, very frightening, very shocking, And really, you know, we can. I don't think it is humanly possible for us to truly understand their pain and their suffering and what they have been through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His grace is such that Allah has created this capacity in human beings and in people that they are able to absorb a lot of difficulty and endurance because of the fact that they are the reciters of the Kalima La Ilaha Illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this is really the one fundamental reason that these people have survived all these ordeals is because they are believers and they have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have hope in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have hope that there is life after life. Otherwise, it would be a very different story.
Certainly, it's the end of fear will be with the God conscious, and these people are going through absolutely brutal and horrific scenes, and we should do everything that we can in order to help. To donate, contact 031-577-868. Tamanna Muhammad Amir from Darul Ihsan, Jazakum Allah Khair and all the best. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.